We are at the St. Joseph Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church in St. Joseph, Tennessee. We're so happy that the church family is together and healthy, as Yah would have us be healthy and prosper. Today we have part two of the message entitled Refined Worship. Refined Worship. If you remember, in part one, we read a scripture, and let's turn there, Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then was Yahshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of Yah, command that these stones be made bread. But Yahshua answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him on the pinnacle of a temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of Yah, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Yahshua said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt Yah, the Almighty One. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Yahshua unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship Yah, the Almighty One, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And we listed before, as I have listed this week, 3 points on which Yahshua was tested. The first area was on appetite. The second was in the area of presumption. And the third was in that area of power. The first part we studied in refined worship was appetite, the sin of appetite, the perverted appetite. Today we go to point two, which is the area of presumption, and we're going to be looking at some sins of presumption. It is a false worship. Presumption is akin, very close to arrogance and pride. The Spirit of Prophecy tells us that presumption is Satan's counterfeit of faith. Presumption claims the promises of Yah, but uses them as Satan did to excuse transgression. Let us turn together to Psalm 19:13. Psalm 19:13. As is my custom, I will be going through these rapidly. So if you cannot keep up, please keep notes. Psalm 19:13. keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Have you ever had a nagging sort of health problem like indigestion? And have you at some point in your life narrowed down the type of foods that give you indigestion? And then have you at some point gone to a potluck or gone to a social or gone to someone's house and sat down to eat only to find that on the table is that item that gives you heartburn and indigestion? I see people nodding. I'm speaking from experience now. And you see that, for me it's spaghetti sauce. A spaghetti with a lot of sauce on it in a special kind of spices or something they put into some kinds of it. And presumptuously, you eat of it, saying, "Oh, I don't want to offend them, so I'll eat it. And the Lord will take care of me. I'll be all right." And later that evening, oh, a fire is stirred in your bosom. And you are receiving the just recompense of reward for your presumptuous sin. Let me tell you, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And do not think for a moment you will get away with anything, because be sure your sins will find you out. Now, you might think of what I was talking about there to be a small sin and a very insignificant matter. But if you practice presumptuous acts like that, you will eventually be guilty of the great transgression. That is the unpardonable sin. Because what you practice and what you develop is what you will do. Be sure your sins will find you out. Now, appetite, presumption, and power, these three are quite related and they fit together and overlap. So it's very difficult to separate them out distinctly altogether. But today we're dealing with presumption, arrogance, pride. Let's turn to Isaiah 13:11. Isaiah 13:11. Yah is speaking. He says, "I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud," or the presumptuous, "to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the ruthless," or the terrible. Be sure that your sins will not go unpunished. Now, no one has lost their soul for eating the spaghetti that gives them heartburn. But many a night I have lost sleep for presumptuously eating that spaghetti sauce. And it was no pleasant experience for me. You will notice now that I pass on that offer. I learned my lesson. There are several categories where presumptuous sins might enter. I have listed one category here. It has having to do with respect for Yah's instruction. And we want to take up a sad story of disobedience and defeat of the children of Israel after acting presumptuously. Let's take it up in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting with verse 19 and reading through verse 46. This is regarding the incidents at Kadesh Barnea. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as Yah the Almighty commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea, also known as the wilderness of Paran. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which Yah the Almighty doth give unto us. Behold, Yah the Almighty One hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as Yah the Almighty of our fathers hath said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again, by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land, which Yah the Almighty doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of Yah, your Almighty One. And ye murmured, that is, complained in your hearts, in your tents, and said, because Yah hated us, he hath brought us out of the land of Egypt, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. And I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Yah, your Almighty, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that Yah the Almighty bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe Yah your Almighty One, who went in the way before you, to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And Yah heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, very angry, and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. And unto him I will give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly or fully followed Yah. Also Yah was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be prey, and your children, which in that they had no knowledge between good and evil, that is, they were younger than the age of accountability, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you, and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against Jah. We will go up and fight, according to all that Yah, our Almighty, had commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. And Yah said unto me, say unto them, go not up. Go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten or defeated before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of Yah, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before Yah, but Yah would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according to the days that ye abode there. Yah had given instruction, go take the land. And the majority report comes back discouraging the army, discouraging the army of Yah. Woe unto ye who discourage the armies of Yah! O ye of little faith, O ye of unbelief, ye who will not take hold the victory of Yah and march forward to take the land, the inheritance that Yah hath given you by His grace. Oh, don't bring back an evil report. Do not discourage the armies of Yah. Because after the armies were discouraged and they saw their great sin, They thought that they would go up in their own power and take the land. Yah said, don't do it. You will not succeed because it's not me that's doing it. It's you. You are trying to do it on your own, and I'm not with you. And they said, we're going to do it. Watch us. Yah's with us. He'll be with us. He loves us. I can eat it. It won't hurt me. I can drink it. It won't hurt me. I'm a Sabbath keeper. I can get away with it. Presumption. I can go there. I can go to the fireworks. I can go to the movie. Yah's with me. I have the true faith. I have the faith of Yahshua. I can go anywhere. And Yahshua said, don't go. I will not be with you. And the children were defeated and humiliated by the Amorites. Those Christians that have seen you go to the movie, those Christians that have seen you go to the celebration of the fireworks and the dancing and whatever, the parties of the world, those Christians that have seen you go there are turned red in their faces as you are made blasphemers before Yah. If Yah commands it, you must go. But if Yah says, don't go, you dare not go. For you will be guilty of the sin of presumption. And believe me, the sin of presumption will lead to the great transgression. And the great transgression is the unpardonable sin. There is another classification wherein we must avoid presumptuous sin. It has to do with respect for Yah's appointed instruments. We'll read about this first in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. Deuteronomy 17, 8 through 13. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which Yah thy God shall choose, and thou shalt come unto the priest, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire. And they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence, which they of that place which Yah shall choose shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee or advise thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand, nor to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously, and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before Yah the Almighty, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear, and do no more presumptuously. Yah warns us to take the counsel of His anointed ones, His judges, His priests, those that he has ordained to give righteous instruction. Be careful not to presumptuously act upon your own, considering the judge to be an unjust judge. 2 Peter 2, 9 and 10 refers to this matter. 2 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Yah knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. What a promise. What a wonderful promise. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Sad but true. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government or belittle control, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries or prominent persons, those that have charge over them. Those that will not take the advice and instruction of those in charge over them are called presumptuous and self-willed. Women, ladies, do you have a husband? If you are rebellious against the instructions of your husband, you are presumptuous and self-willed. May Yah have mercy upon your dear souls. Men, are you arrogant to say that you do not have to pay attention to the laws of the land? Or you do not have to take the instruction and counsel of those who have charge over you, whether in the faith or in the world? Do you have a job wherein you have a boss or supervisor that gives you instruction? And you rebel against it? The Scripture classifies you as presumptuous and self-willed. Be careful to know that your sins will find you out. It may not be that one presumptuous sin will take you to the lake of fire. But if you practice presumptuous actions, if repeated over and over, it becomes a part of your character. And then you have a presumptuous character, and a presumptuous character will have its end in destruction. And let's give a warning to the presumptuous prophets too. Deuteronomy 18:20. Deuteronomy 18:20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Prophets have a great responsibility. If they prove themselves to be false prophets and they presumptuously give instruction, and Yah has not given that instruction, woe unto that prophet. I know of some people who have presumptuously said they are prophets. Woe unto them if Yah has not anointed them. Beware of false prophets. Many have gone out into the world. We have a familiar story regarding presumption and power. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Let's turn there. 2 Samuel Chapter 11. I'll be reading chapter 11, verse 2, through chapter 12, verse 14. 2 Samuel 11, 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David, King David, arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming to him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. In other words, he asked him for a report of the war. And David said unto Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." Now listen carefully. The king is giving instruction here. The anointed of Israel is giving him instruction. "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." In other words, refresh yourself. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat, or a portion of food, from the king. Now what's David trying to do here? He's gotten this man's wife pregnant. He's pulling this guy off the front lines, or off the battlefield. And he's giving him a little vacation. Why? Why would you think? Well, I'm thinking that he's thinking that if he goes and lays with his wife, the baby won't show up. It won't implicate him. It'll be his child, but it could be brushed off as Uriah's child. And it wouldn't implicate him, see? He presumptuously laid with the woman. But it gets deeper. Verse 9, "But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house." He didn't go home. "And he slept with all the servants of his lord and went not down to his house." Now, what did he do wrong? Uriah presumed against the king. He didn't do as the king had suggested and actually commanded him. No, he snuck outside and slept with the servants. Got a better idea. "And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down to his house, David said unto Uriah, Comest thou not from thy journey?" In other words, you're not coming from home? "Why then didst thou not go down to thy house?" You've been presumptuous, Uriah. I gave you a little vacation, you wouldn't take it. "And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab and his servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat, to drink, to lie down with my wife?" In other words, I feel guilty. I'd feel guilty having all these pleasures. "As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." And David said unto Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So David has to come up with plan two. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, and he went down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." In other words, withdraw your help from him so he'll get killed. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were, that is, strong fighting men. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, "When thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, 'Wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Know ye not that they would shoot from the wall?' Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, saith, 'Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall?' Then say thou, 'Thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also.' So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. The messenger said unto David, 'Surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even in the entering of the gate, and the shooters shot from off the wall upon the servants, and some of the king's servants be dead. And the servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also.' Then David said unto the messenger, 'Thus shalt thou say unto Joab, Let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him.' And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son, that one that she was pregnant with, you know. But the thing that David had done displeased Yah." Chapter 12, verse 1, "And Yah sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, 'There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and his children. It did eat of his own food and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take off his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb, dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's anger was greatly kindled against this man, and he said to Nathan, 'As Yah liveth, the man that hath done this thing surely shall die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.'" Of course, this was according to the law of Moses. David's a legalist here. He's going to be sure he tries to go by the law here now. "And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man.' Thus saith Yah the Almighty of Israel, 'I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of Yah to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith Yah, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Yah. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Yah to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now here was a great sin of David, and David's life was spared. Evidently, Yah knew his heart, that he would turn from his sin. But the consequences of his sin were grave. He did not commit the great transgression, but his presumptuousness almost brought him to ruin. And Uriah's presumptuous act did bring him to death. Perhaps if he had gone home and taken the vacation that the king suggested, he would have raised a stepson, but perhaps spared his life. You see, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yah can protect us if we do not presume upon him, if we do not act presumptuously or arrogantly, or if we do not rebel against the command of Yah. We have some warnings against presumptuous acts. Let's look at a parable in Luke 12. Luke chapter 12. Joshua spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, good crops. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater or bigger ones. And there will I bestow or store all of the fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Oh, good retirement. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Yah said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward Yah. We are warned against piling up more than we need. We are warned against piling up for a great retirement so we can have a life of ease. We should only store that which we need. We should only treasure up those things that will supply our needs. And if we have excess, then we can bless others. Do not act presumptuously with the blessings of your treasures. And be careful in Numbers 16:11. Be careful about performing functions without authority. Be sure that you have Yah's permission and authority. Numbers 16:11. for which cause both you and all the company are gathered together against Yah. Well, we should read actually before that so we get a picture of the whole thing. 16:1-11. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and Yah is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of Yah? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, Even tomorrow Yah will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers or fire pans, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before Yah tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom Yah doth choose, he shall be holy for this service only. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a little thing unto you that the Almighty One of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of Yah, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against Yah? And what is Aaron, that ye murmur against him? We must be very careful not to presume upon Yah and perform functions without Yah's delegated authority. What about seeking to be greater and higher than Yah has ordained? Similar kind of thing. Isaiah 14, we read about the great